Yes, that's right. Once more with feeling, it's Mole Patrol. Mole Patrol with our wrap-up show for season one. Some feedback, some tunes, and some great friends here as we look back on the first season of The Mole. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here going under the alias MC Moloff. It's the great Jessica Lise. Jess, how are you?
I'm great. Friends, I have brought so much fun stuff for you guys tonight.
Okay. Looking forward to that. We've also got Brooklyn Zed here. Zed, I was thinking instead of a Moloff, because it just doesn't really go the same way as a Wandoff. What do you think about, and I don't think we have Casey Kasem here on the line this week. What do you think about Andersongs?
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
The Andersongs?
Yeah, I like that too.
This is some Andersongs.
Adorable.
And then if we get to season three, I guess we got to, or it could just be Andersongs forever. I don't know. I don't know how you want to do it.
Anderson Cooper lives on on our podcast. He will always be our host of The Mole.
Yeah, the host of The Mole with the most. I don't even know who the other hosts are, so don't tell me. No spoilers. Still no spoilers or anything beyond season one. Season one, fully spoiled. Fully spoiled. If you didn't listen to the finale show, you should do that. If you haven't watched The Mole season one finale, you should do that. Going to say it again really quickly. You should have watched all of that stuff on YouTube, ideally, which is how we've watched The Mole. If you didn't know that, there's show notes that tell you where we watched The Mole. That's enough filibuster because, once again, I was right! It was Catherine, and I knew it the whole time.
Congratulations.
I'm still pretty happy.
Podcasting history.
It's up there. I don't know about favorite, but I think I've never felt, I don't know. It was something blissful about it, Zed. What is the mole win? The satisfaction of a job well done.
Yep.
That's what I got.
A rare moment of triumph in the year 2020.
So this is the last Mole podcast for a little while. It is not the last Mole podcast, period. I think the exact timing on when we are going to come back is still a little TBD. Internally, we have talked about, we'll wait until all the Big Brother shenanigans are done. So Big Brother will ride out its season before the Mole Patrol returns. We'll take some time to gather ourselves before we hop into the Mole season two. But Jess, with your glowing review of the moment in the Mole season two, that is like one of the top reality TV moments of all time. There's just no way that the three of us aren't going to get back together to talk about more Mole.
We cannot leave it here, Josh, because it would just, I feel like your mole watching experience, you could make the argument that it would be complete with the conclusion of the Anderson Cooper era, but there are a few things in Mole season two that I could not call you a mole viewer unless you got to experience them.
Okay. Zed, do you concur? Dr. Zed?
Dr. Zed, yeah, I agree. We've gone through like the maraschino cherry court of the dinner, but
so we got to the best part.
We haven't reached, well, I mean, I agree,
yeah.
But I think if you want to go appetizer and then main course, you save the protein for the main course. We have not had our shrimp ring yet.
Okay, all right.
Or our gray meat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm skipping all forms of meat, but you enjoy.
All right. Well, we're getting.
It could be gray tofurkey.
Yeah, probably it would be.
Could
it's
be
gray, probably.
It's not impossible that that's what was in the baguette once upon a time. But all right, we'll be back for the Mole season two. I'm excited. I could end it here with the satisfaction of a job well done, having identified the mole, got it right. It's like the escape room thing. I've done 7 escape rooms successfully. And I've never lost, and so I'll never do an escape room again. So I could just say, like, I got the mole and I'm done. Because there's no way I'm going to get the mole 2 seasons in a row.
I don't know, Josh. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right, we'll find out. We'll find out. I
will say, before we get into it, and before we talk about anything that happened in Mole Season 2, I didn't have the mole pegged in Season 1 until pretty late in the season. But in Season 2, that moment came much sooner.
Okay, got it. Interesting. All right. Well, let's talk. Let's wrap this thing up. Jess, I feel like you've got the wheel. I feel like you know what we're about to get into.
Well, we put out the call for feedback, and I think Josh's reaction to being right just kind of said it all, and nobody has any further questions for him. Like, most of the feedback we got about it were, how great does Josh feel for getting it right? And I think we know the answer.
Very good.
The answer is super great. And
Things are awful generally, yes, right now, and yes, specifically as well. Things are generally and specifically awful. This was one thing that was specifically awesome. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to treasure that. I'm going to hold it very close to my bosom and bring that with me for the rest of 2020.
I think we've got to take our wins wherever they come.
That's how I feel.
Very, very much so.
That is my answer to that collective question. How does Josh feel? He feels good about one thing.
One thing. One thing.
He feels very good about one thing. Okay. So that's the feedback? Okay.
So the feedback is, congratulations, Josh. And all season long, people have been writing in, I can't believe he still thinks it's Catherine. When is he going to come off of this? Like, why isn't he questioning it? This is kind of anticlimactic, but also a little bit satisfying. I think it would have been fun either way. I don't know. I would love the alternate universe in which you're like totally sold on someone who absolutely does not end up being the mole and you cannot be persuaded otherwise. But being right and not being able to be persuaded otherwise is its own kind of.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. I'll pull the curtain back on something that I revealed to Jess and Zed a couple of weeks ago, that there were a few points this season where I was having like these flashbacks to like the early 2000s when I was a prolific AOL online reality game player. I loved the online reality game scene of the early AOL and AIM days. And I can't remember if I either played in a mole ORG or if, because like a lot of like the challenges in the online reality games of those days were like, go to the website for Survivor and get all these, like glean all of these details from the cast bios and turn around the information as fast as you can, stuff like that. And I think that there are, either I played in a version of the mole or just in like the habit of going to those websites. I definitely visited the mole website, but I didn't remember anything. And then I started watching this season and I kept having like these flashbacks of like a green website that had like the headshots of all of the people from the mole. And some of these people started like burrowing out of like my mind's eye and like, hey, remember me? You've seen my face before. And I had a few moments this season where I was like, oh shit, I remember Henry. I remember seeing Henry before. I think Henry's the mole. Then Henry would get knocked out. And then I had this moment where it was like, oh, I remember seeing Jennifer's headshot. I'm pretty sure she makes it all. No, it's like this happened a few times. And Catherine was uninvolved in it. But there were a few moments along the way where I was like, oh no, do I actually know something? And maybe that was some of the incentive of like, just like sticking with the instinct, like play this as fairly as possible, stick it with Catherine. That is who you had at the beginning. And if you're right, and like this, you know, these repressed memories are starting to come to the surface with Jennifer and she ends up being the mole, then you can say you resisted that impulse. But those are like the only reasons and the only times that I ever wavered from Catherine. But that was happening and it was causing me some significant anxiety where there were a few points along the way where it's like, am I secretly spoiled about season one of the mole?
Am
I going to have to reveal at the end of the podcast that I actually knew the whole time and that I was the mole saying that this is a spoiler-free show? Thankfully, that was not the case. But I was very nervous.
This was causing you anxiety, Josh.
Yeah, everything causes me anxiety.
I was going to say, everything else in the world. I feel like we got a laundry list and this should be fairly far down
everything.
On it.
It's on there. It's on there. It's not top. Wasn't top of the list. Didn't crack top 40.
Yeah.
Probably not even top hunch, but it was on there. Everything, Jess.
Yeah. Everything is terrible. including the notion that you might have been accidentally spoiled about the mole and not even known it.
It would have been kind of funny, but it was not meant to be. So.
Destroy the entire conceit of the podcast at the end of the podcast.
But there were a few moments along the way where I was like, oh, no, I think I actually might know. But we're good. We're good.
Everything's fine in the realm of a 20-year-old reality show that we are rewatching. Because it's the only thing that might conceivably bring a tiny spark of joy to this otherwise wretched existence.
All right. So that's the feedback. Feedback mission accomplished. We get
$75,000. Many thanks from listeners who appreciated us doing this, thanked me for dragging you into it.
I joined them. Thank you for dragging me and Jess into this too. Yeah.
If I haven't said so, we really appreciate you conceptualizing this and not leaving it alone until it happened, because it really has been very delightful to
this whole trio is team committed to the bit. So here we are. We got here. Many people who tried to watch one episode a week along with us have finished many seasons, all of the seasons this point.
That's great.
So I'm glad that has brought the mole into more people's lives.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. We've had a few people that said they wanted to watch along with you and kind of live through the experience. But then we had some that rationalized being able to continue watching by saying, well, I've experienced it on Josh's level, and now I want to experience it on Jess and Zed's level.
Yeah.
So the next time I go in, I will have watched it all. And that's okay too. And I say, do what you want. Watch it how you want.
Do what makes you happy.
Yes. Because,
are you hurting anyone? No? Then do it if it's making you happy.
Yeah. Honestly, we could all use a little more happiness right now.
Yeah.
But I have some... We're not ending the podcast here with our dearth of feedback and thanks to everybody for listening.
12 minutes. See ya.
That would be amazing, actually. You know.
Shortest podcast ever.
For future reference, I'm not opposed to such a thing.
Well,
I would love to get away with a 12-minute podcast someday. I feel like at this point, I should be able to cash that chip in.
What are we, Planet Money, Josh?
I feel like at some point, having done like 4-hour, 5-hour podcasts, like if I just show up with a 5-minute podcast sometime, that should be fine.
It'll be fine. Save it for The Walking Dead, Josh.
Yeah, we could do that.
We're going to be covering two zombie shows a week, and we'll just compress it into 12 minutes. I think it's a great idea.
Yes, but just to say that again, for anyone who's going to be missing out on Jess and I and Zed, of course, open invitation, although I know you don't watch the shows.
I may make an appearance.
An appearance.
You could be the Josh Wiggler of our podcast.
That's how it would happen.
Except we would spoil the bejesus out of The Walking Dead
for
you.
That's really okay.
So Jess and I are going to have some Walking Dead coverage coming up on post-show recap soon, because The Walking Dead is wrapping season 10 on October 4th, and it's also launching a new show, The Walking Dead World Beyond, which is basically The Walking Dead, the new class. And then there's Fear of the Walking Dead is coming out the week after that. And given the TV landscape right now, and given Jess and I both having some sort of sadomasochistic streak, I think we are going to be covering both of those Walking Dead shows as one podcast, The Dead Beat. We will be bringing that your way on post-show recaps.
And please, I want to throw something out to our listeners who are also Walking Dead fans. If you are of the opinion that people that hate a show should not be watching it or podcasting about it, I don't know that this is going to be the show for you. We don't hate it, but we are going to be critical and flip and very off the cuff about this, I think.
Yeah, we often get reviews where it's like, wow, these idiots still really like The Walking Dead. That's pretty dumb. And then we other times get reviews that are like, wow, these idiots really don't respect this show at all. Why are they doing it? So like we're kind of like, it's like an anti Goldilocks.
Pleasing no one.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's my goal in life, is to please absolutely nobody.
So very on brand for 2020. Pleasing no one.
We have fun though. We have fun. And we're, as Zed said, committed to the bit. So we got to keep going.
It's true. And honestly, I think there's going to be something in it for everybody.
I hope so.
Everybody that appreciates the insanity of Josh Wigler, I think, will find plenty to love about this podcast. But we are here to continue speaking about the mole for one more brief interlude. And we have a game time, and okay, we also have some music to listen to. And it's really up to the two of you where you would like to go first.
I don't know, Zed. Typically, we wrap the game.
Mm-hmm.
We want to stick to the structure.
What is structure, really?
We want to roll the dice. We want to play a game first. Is the game mole related?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's close on the game. Let's end with the game. Let's get to the Anders songs. The Anders songs, Cooper.
I love it. This is a great branding opportunity for us. And
Casey and Wanda are in semi-retirement, so let's let them be. Let's give the music parody thing its own deal here with the mole. We'll go with the Anders songs.
And honestly, it brings me great joy to know that although Casey and Wanda may be frozen in carbonite for an indefinite period of time and possibly forever, that it does not preclude people from sending song parodies to every podcast that features Josh Wigler.
Just send them to any podcast. I didn't invent the song parody.
No,
unless
you
I'm
did
a
not.
Time-traveling Weird Al who also didn't invent the song parody, unless he's a time-traveling whoever, which he is.
Oh, he definitely is.
But yeah, just keep them going. Just because we're not doing the wand off anymore doesn't mean we can't keep singing stupid stuff.
Yeah, send them to every podcast. Yeah. Every podcast on the network deserves a song parody.
Totally. The Love Island wand off.
Yeah.
Those will be good.
Those will be terrific.
You're telling me Big Brother puts out 100 podcasts a week and none of them have a song parody
copy? Yeah, I would imagine so. Right? I would imagine so. You'd think so.
I wouldn't know. I don't listen to them.
Yeah. All right. So all season long, people have been sending us song parodies, and we're going to go back up to the top of the season and listen to the songs that people have sent already. And then we have a really special treat. We have 5 additional brand new song parodies that I think we will all enjoy very much. I certainly enjoyed listening to them as they were sent into our email address. So I want to thank everybody that took the time and the energy and put their extreme talents to good use here, creating Anders songs for our enjoyment. And we will go up to the top with our first track in Anders Songs Nation this week.
What do we got? What are we listening to?
We're going to be listening to Ben Martell's rendition of Unbaggettable.
Okay, here we go. From Ben Martell, the Ben behind the curtain of Down the Hatch fame.
Yes.
I'm dedicating this one to Anderson Cooper. Unbaggettable. That's what you are. As you valet folks back to the car. You eat crepes at a Dragon Yawn Cafe, looking chic and wearing Cartier, dressed in a suit, while pushing execute. You're not telling them from your chateau that there's a map to come in their bathrobe. But Andy Coops, surely you're gettable. No interview would be regrettable, 'cause Jess Ed and Josh are unforgettable too.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Ben Behind the Curtain. That was
Ben Behind the Curtain. You know, one of the joys of a great song parody that I have found having sung a few in my time is there's something just really wonderful about, like, if it's like late at night and you're recording these and you're just like belting it out on your own. Like, there is just like a true pleasure to that. I gotta imagine Unbeggettable was fun to sing.
Yeah, I think that's the key to a really good song parody, is that you are really committed to the bit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is the motto of this podcast.
Yeah.
We need a coat of arms, and we need the Latin translation of committed to the bit. And
I do feel like I was thinking about it at the time, and now that it's just come up again, I feel like I should say that there was like a zombie bite joke that we just kind of left on the floor when we said committed to the bit earlier.
Yeah, it's true.
That's, you know, when you're in the zombie apocalypse, you got to be committed to the bit. Avoid really the bit. Do. Avoid the bite.
Yes. Anyway, all right.
I don't know.
Anyway,
the baguette moment remains a top tier moment of 2020.
So good.
Yep. We're committed Crazy. To the baguette bite.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Thank you to the Ben Behind the Curtain.
Yes,
as always.
That was fantastic. And so yes. Next up, we're going to revisit one that is dedicated directly to you, Josh. Mm-hmm. This came from the power duo of Who Hears a Horton. And they recorded a song all about your experience coming into this podcast. And so that is going to be track number two here.
And I believe that I mistakenly thought this was DJ LaBelle Klein.
Yes.
So my apologies to all involved, though there are worse people in the world to be confused with than DJ LaBelle
Klein.
It's true. Let's listen to track number two.
Yep.
Hey there, Josh Wiggler. This new podcast is all wrong. We think it's missing something, so we chose to write a song and send it in. Molof competition should be thin. We just might win.
Anything you think.
Hey there, Josh Wiggler. What'd you think of episode two? I can't believe they kidnapped Steven. A felony's a new move for a show. Sure, he's got boy band hair, but whoa, that's a low blow. Mole, what'd you do to Steve?
It's so good.
What'd you do to Steve? Mole, what'd you do to Steve? Mole, what'd you do to Steve? He's in con, it's pretty far, but we've got copters, boats, and cars. We'd walk to him if we had no other way. Steven, we can promise you that by the time 2 hours is through, we'll add 50 G's to our payday. But we waste time in Monaco. Jim has the keys. Where did Jennifer go? I can't believe we're gonna lose this game. Now who's to blame? Hey there, Josh Wiggler. Well, we hope you like this entry. The lyrics may be subpar, the singing rudimentary, it's true. We just want to impress you. You can send a prize if you want to. Hey there, Josh Wiggler, here's to you. This one's for you. Oh, send a hat to me. 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 Send a hat to me.
Oh, man, how do I resist? I have no choice.
Such an earnest argument.
You know, Mole, what'd you do to Steve? Really cracks me up in like the alternate world where Steve was the self-loathing mole.
That would be amazing.
I was just thinking about that. How much that's incredible.
Then it becomes, what did the show do to Steve in making him the mole?
Oh, I really wish this wasn't me.
Like they just wrecked his life.
What did I get myself into?
Oh, poor guy.
I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Can I just say that when it comes to song parodies, I feel like Steve is one of the funniest names you can stick into a song.
Yeah.
Like it makes the song funnier to sing about Steve.
I agree.
Garfunkel and Oates had a song called Steve that was also very funny.
Anytime you could just, Steve is just a great word. There's a great sound for the name Steve.
It really is. And it's also like there's not very many children named Steve anymore. This is going to be like one of those old people names.
It's my dad's name.
Yeah, and your dad's an old person.
I have an Uncle Steve. The podcast network has a Uncle Steve, Stephen Fishback.
That's true, and he's an old person. He's the same age as me, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, I've been recently accused of being an old person myself. I guess
The second oldest person on this podcast.
Time is flying. Time is flying. All right, let's go track number three before I start crying on the air.
Okay. All right. This one came from Jay and Lauren. And this one, I think all you High School Musical fans will appreciate this particular track.
Okay. Track number three. Yeah. Assuming this is the part where she's just like lumbering to the town square.
Yeah. And you got the backlit like silhouette.
I guess I am old because I never saw a High School Musical.
I didn't either.
I mean, I didn't either. So
Zed's old. Zed's old too.
Oh, welcome to the old club.
I was thinking before we started the song, the senior class president in my high school was named Steven. So if that's our bar for old people,
the last Steve born in the United States
generation.
Oh my god! I'd love to check. When was the last Steve born?
Yeah, it's like some Children of Men business.
No more Steves.
No more Steves.
The one
Children
shot
of Steve
protecting that one Steve. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unforgettable.
All right, and now we're gonna revisit this wonderful track from DJ Hubiki Keeley, and then we're gonna get to the new stuff.
Okay, so this is one more that we've heard before from DJ Hubiki Keeley. Not actually Christian and Angelina, as far as we know. But could
it would be.
Be
cool if it was.
Could be. All right, let's listen in. Track four.
You are amazing. You can dye your hair green, even pose nude. You can get a freaking cast, somehow get backlash of Jennifer's lack of love. Or we can start speaking up. Nobody's gonna hurt you, though they try to. Come the shooting from gym. Shot by the snipers, all the red screens. Sometimes nobody wins. But I wonder what would happen if we say what we want to say and let the mole fall out. Honestly, we want to see you be the mole. Oh, yes, really, Kate. And let the mole fall out. Honestly, we want to see you be the mole. Just want to see you. We just want to see you. We just want to see you. We want to see you be the mole. Just want to see you. We just want to see you. We just want to see you. We want to see you be the mole.
That was the one that earwormed into my brain for a little while after hearing it the first time. I had, I want to see you be the mole. the perfect kind of Andrew song, just like a little bit stupid, but very memorable.
Yes, I think that
that is where you should be aiming.
Maybe that's the motto of our podcast, a little bit stupid, but very memorable. I have two observations here. Observation number one is that Zed was losing their minds watching the two of us like just rocking out to this song.
We're having a good time.
Yeah.
And thing number two, I realize what sets the Ander songs apart from the Wand Off is that we're not cutting anybody off. We're playing the whole song and we give zero F's about it. So some of you who may have turned it off because they are like anti-Wand Off for some reason, it's probably a good thing that you did, because we're not instilling any kind of 30-second time limit on any of these. We're playing the whole enchilada and we got five more songs.
Yeah, we've got five more songs to go.
Yep. And I have some late breaking news for you, Josh.
Ooh.
We said the word song parody on a podcast. We said the word Wand Off on a podcast. And we summoned Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman.
Of course we did.
Beetlejuice.
Of course we did.
They came through with three songs that we're going to hear now. Three whole songs. I mean, we know that's kind of a scant showing from them. I was expecting 15 or 16, but
we have five songs left and three of them are from Nick and Aaron.
Yes, indeed.
Correct.
That is correct.
Everybody else gets a hat.
They get two hats.
No, none. Zero. They get nothing.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I'm glad. Living, you know, what brings you joy? What brings you joy?
Yeah, and you know, they are well prepped.
What brings me joy is getting angry at Nick and Aaron for constantly submitting song parodies to me. They make me very happy. All right.
Not going to lie, when I saw three attachments on the email, I was super stoked.
All right.
That's so hard. I opened that email. I do not listen to the songs until we hear them, because I want to experience them the way Josh experiences all things mole related. But I laughed really, really hard. We had three. I mean, when you got to do it all at once, really, all things considered, three is nothing when they'll do three for a single episode.
All right. So here we go. Our first new track. This is from Aaron and Nick.
Yep, it sure is.
And give us some any context you want to give us before we get in, or should this just be a total surprise?
I mean, I don't know what context you need. These are kind of global overviews of the season for the most part.
Three global overviews. All right. Global overview number one.
It's a big season, Josh.
Global overview number one of three from Nick and Aaron. Let's listen in.
Here we go, bins full of trash. They're stressful not to win some cash. We'll be getting some lying out with. Not trying to become the village idiot. So drive your mini me. Why did Cooper say that with so much grief? So enjoy your pampering as a smart mile count is worsening. So what adventures did they have en route? Had to bike and ask for guests to scoot. The hotel's brand new. Was good. Jim and Jen didn't eat enough smart food. Smart food. Mole, 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 super fast. Somehow nearly caused a crash. They don't know where the resourceful is. Maybe they're just worried about the next quiz. So, Charlie, shut your mouth. We have to watch you take a bath. And Jimmy's losing his mind. Breaking microphone you couldn't find. So what? What the prize for the day? Car sickness and 40K and two. Had to sleep outside. Steve had a secret he wanted to hide from Angie. He was cranky and not sorry.
That's very catchy.
I did walk around for an entire day like singing that in my head.
You needed gas to scoot.
Yep.
Again, I mean, the magic word was in there, Steve.
That's really, it's a vital component.
We're in good shape there. All right. So the next one.
The next one is about a specific moment in a specific episode. And if I tell you what it is a parody of, you will know what the moment is.
Don't.
So I won't. So we're just going to listen to the song.
But from Nick and Aaron once again.
Yeah, from Nick and Aaron once again.
All right, here we go. Nick and Aaron, round two of three.
I am a really, really nervous gal, just trying to do my part. Even after making all of those lame works of art, I am relying on the guy I trust, whom I shared a night with. I want to rise to the occasion, having just watched KP play Smith. So I told you about fourth grade, which made you pick what I do. Blindfolded, and I'm afraid I don't think that I will be swayed.
I can't stand in the electric. Turn you, Mr. Peeped Up. I am not on board. Tell me the other test that you picked. My fear is shaking me. I can't stand here anymore.
Hoops is laughing at me a ton. But watch this. I will faint and maybe not have to take the next quiz. I am having cold feet, but not about my wedding. Maybe if you had me walking hot coals, we would have avoided all this fainting. So I want out asking you, what did Jim and Charlie get to do? How much I hate the Mr. Beep. I feel faded as if I counted sheep.
I can't stand here, my friend. I don't want you to suspect me since I fell on the floor. I fainted. It's such a graceful way. And let me say, when it's thrown at the floor.
It's very dumb.
Dumbness is a key component of a successful
Do you have any Casey Kasem-ish that was blah, 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 blahs?
I can do that. I used to do college radio. So that was Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman with a parody of Faint by Linkin Park.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a faint.
It's still just faint.
Still just faint. It really, the title, they didn't have to change a thing. And low effort.
Yeah. Nothing really changed, but it was great.
It was really fantastic. And I am happy that they sent it. And I'm happy that they sent this one as well, because I feel like this is, I almost saved this for the very end, but we have another one in a similar vein that I've also saved for the very end. So I feel like this sums up our entire experience. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. The Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson trilogy comes to an end here with part three, a walloping 34 seconds, mercifully.
It's worth it.
All right. Here we go. This is it.
The 11 people of Mo U.S. that we all got to see. Manuel wanting Paris, Afi's career changes, Wendy's stockade suffering, Henry's evil laughing, Jennifer screaming at everyone, Kate shooting when the test is done, Charlie being hit by the bull, Jim stuck in the dark. Steven was no Abercrombie jerk, Catherine fainting from the stress, and Andy Coops replying to Jess. Well, maybe that last one is just hopeful thinking. Happy Molemess, everyone.
Happy Molemess. Yeah, I mean, we do, we should reiterate that this podcast has come out September 22nd. 20 years after the first wave of mole contestants embarked on a journey that would change television forever.
So if you needed another high holiday here in mid to late September,
I mean, it falls
on your calendar.
It falls perfectly in that 10-day period.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
I think it's fantastic. So I want to thank Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman again for really, I feel like they elevated the mole experience for us. And
I agree.
I always love it when somebody puts me into one of the mole parodies.
Oh, yeah. It's another shortcut.
A special treat.
It's a quick shortcut straight to my heart. Same thing. Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, just call them Panderson Cooper.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
All right. So I'm going to bring you home here with a double shot from a group that is billing themselves Mole Family Quarantine Edition.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe the theme of the summer, as far as song parodies are concerned, have been absolutely mind blowing Hamilton parodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have for you here is this ensemble's absolutely incredible pair of Hamilton parodies. And we're going to kick things off now with a parody of It's Quiet Uptown, a more meditative look back at our favorite duo from the season.
Oh, gosh. Okay, here we go. Charlie and Kate, I assume. Let's listen.
Moments between Charlie and Kate.
Yeah, okay.
There is suffering too terrible to name. He gets drunk and he calls her some names and pushes away other cast members. The moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down. Henderson shows up now. They are trying to do the unimaginable. Between Charlie and Kate. There's a grace too powerful to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable. There is a reunion. But Charlie's side. She takes his hand.
It's all part of the game.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Forgiveness. Can you imagine? You see her in the street wearing two caps with a ball and chain of pity.
Going through the unimaginable. Because we're here in opulence.
Opulence? Oh, one more time for opulence.
Living in opulence. Kate. Oh my God, that was a delight.
I think. Maybe another rule for what makes a successful song parody, whether you are submitting to the Wandoff, the Anders Songs, or any future installments of anything that might happen, is if you take something ridiculous and put it into a very serious song and sell it very seriously, yeah. I feel like that is an ingredient to a successful song.
I agree as well. I agree. I think that that's always
all good. Right. So we're going to bring us home with one more submission from these same very talented individuals. I feel like this is the perfect encapsulation of all of the madness we have gone through this season.
Okay, so this is the closer.
This is the closer.
This is the finale of the Anders Songs, not the finale of the podcast.
But no.
This will take us home for the Anders Song portion of this Mole Season 1 wrap-up show. Let's listen in.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It's a 10-mole contestant. Number one, Manuel, the single father. He could learn how to say his name right, but why bother? Oh. Coach, the future doctor, teacher, Dave. Number three, what will happen next, you might ask? Anderson warns us that this could be an unpleasant task. Take the hair and pose a suit. While Eddie dies,
ancient church that's alright. Piper's got the pistols, it is not a fair fight. Hammond has a plan, he makes us a prediction. The others have it up on it, and Hero is a victim. Right. All of them come along for the ride.
Can it first time to say goodbye?
Can't believe that Kate didn't win. Shame to see her go, praise for all that she did. In this grumpy old man, tell him Holy Trinity has spoiled your plan. Charlie and Kate, from the mole of gymnastics debate.
Mr. Morrison, Mr. Steve, sir, can we thus far?
Sure,
but now we have to take the final quiz alone, sir. On our own? We both know that's absurd, sir.
Hang on, how can I be sure you're not the mole and just screwing us?
Okay, so we're doing this.
Another night, Catherine is revealed as a traitor. Jimmy's runner, I'll see you later that week.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Steve's
the winner. Steve! Yeah! Mr. Steve, sir.
Oh, wow. A good tribute to Steve here at the end of the Ender songs. Really, it was exactly what we wanted this whole time.
I still have a secret place in my heart for Steve the self-loathing mole.
Yeah, it would have been great. It's like, oh, I hate this. I feel like he also felt bad about winning to a certain degree, though.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Survivor's guilt.
Does he do anything publicly?
I don't think there was anything past a reunion show.
Yeah, he just got sort of faded off with his.
You had to go back undercover.
Yeah, it's true.
I have to imagine he had to. He had to change careers after this.
Yeah.
Not go on a very popular.
Oh, he could go undercover now, though, and no one would know who he is. No,
yeah, now.
He could now. But
red hot.
I sort of hope he's not a cop anymore. But. Yeah.
What is he now? What would you hope he is?
Literally anything else.
I think maybe.
If I haven't made it clear over the course of this podcast, I really hate cops.
Literally anything else. We could stress test that, but why don't we go through the other stress test that Jess has planned for us. That's Thank right. you to everyone who submitted an Ander song. That was lovely.
What a joy.
Super, super fun. Really, really fun.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And if I had hats, I would send them to you.
If you submitted an Ander song, reply to the email that you sent it in. We'll see what we can do for you.
Send you something.
And the two people who don't have the hats will
if you already have a hat, you know, just a job well done, you know. But if you don't have a hat and you contributed to the Ender songs, hit up molepatrol@robhasawebsite.com. Reply to the email that you sent so that we know it's legit.
I'll send you a handcrafted thank you card.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I can verify
that much.
We'll figure it out.
All right. So our final task tonight, and I have to say, I did not craft this quiz. The honor of crafting this quiz went to the Grim Recapper, who of their own volition just went through and wrote this very detailed quiz for you to perform.
Oh my gosh.
I've lost my voice even thinking
because
about it.
You're so nervous about what we're in store for.
It's so epic.
Oh geez.
It's really fantastic, and it is a level of mold knowledge that I could never aspire to. So
Now I'm really nervous.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be the smart team.
You will be.
Oh.
Yeah. So I know this is actually pretty painless. I think we'll have a good time with it. At any rate, here it comes, and I will just read what the Grim Recapper has set up for us here. After an entire season of trying to avoid other mole franchises, it seems appropriate that, like people not wanting to do laundry, this final quiz will test not your knowledge of semi-obscure reality shows from 20 years ago, but instead how well U.S. Mole has prepared you for what the rest of the world has to offer. For each question, you'll get 3 or 4 challenges from other moles that fit a theme, and you must pick out the one that's completely fake. There are no challenges from later U.S. seasons included, and no trick questions where everything is true except for a minor detail, i.e. Okay. Don't assume one is fake because the cash prizes seem unusually large or small. But everything else is fair game. And if you could do my laundry too, that would be great.
That seems like a to-do. I'll do it for the right price. We can negotiate. I'll definitely do your laundry. You have to pay for postage, all of that.
Save the post office, mail all your laundry here to New York City, and we will do
We'll do it, but also we've got a fee, and we'll negotiate that. You tell us what you think it's worth, and then we'll tell you how far off the mark you are.
And also, if the number is, it's like $16,000 in 2000 money, that might be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's $1 million.
Yep. Okay.
Pay me $1 million. I'll do your laundry.
Sounds good to me. I'll do your laundry for $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys ready to play this?
A new patron level that we're experimenting with.
Double secret platinum.
$1 million patrons get their laundry done by us.
Yeah. I'll do it. Sounds good.
No, I would fold totally very well.
Yeah, I'm a very good folder. Great at laundry. I'm very good. Laundry is one of my talents. I don't have a lot, but I can do that.
Yeah, I think maybe that's one of the things that brings us all together here. We're all very good.
I expect that I'm going to get a text from the other room from my wife any minute being like, you're not that good at laundry.
All righty. So are we ready to tackle this?
A game.
All right, let's do it.
Do we want to just go through the rest of all of the housework that Josh Hewitt has to talk about?
We'll do the chores.
I'm good at making the bed. Yeah. Scoop the cat litter. I'm pretty good at that. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, that's something. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Question number one.
Gosh. Beginner's How many questions luck. Are there?
There are, I believe there are 10 questions.
Okay. All right.
You know, same number as most.
I need to get myself, you know, baseline stable. Let's go. Quick hydration break.
Get comfy. Settle in. We got 10 questions.
Okay. I'm good. I'm feeling good. Yep. I'm feeling good.
Let's hope my voice holds out, because I don't know if you guys have heard, but out here in the West, air quality, not great.
Yeah. Hearts out to everybody who is dealing with that, because that's absolutely awful.
Yeah, it's no good. We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we have to squint really hard because there's a lot of smog in the air.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All righty. Question number one, beginner's luck challenges from the very first mole season, which aired in Belgium in 1998. All right. Option one, players must complete a French Foreign Legion training assault course as a group with their time measured. After lunch, they are told the real challenge is to complete another lap, increasing their time by 10% or more. If they do so successfully, i.e. finish the second lap at least 10% slower, they win 50,000 francs.
Wow. Sounds intense and realistic.
Indeed. Option B. Two players must organize a charity karaoke fundraiser in a local bar, with the others later joining them to staff the event and solicit donations. If they raise at least 1,000 French francs by 9:30 p.m., they win 50,000 Belgian francs for themselves.
Okay. A noble cause.
That sounds like a challenge you might see on a different show, but
it doesn't sound very moley to me.
No, it doesn't.
Something for charity doesn't feel very molish.
Yeah. But.
No. And you know, what kind of mole would feel terrible about, like, oh, well, I'm going to take money away from the cancer kids because
yeah.
I'm
yeah. How bad is
sabotage
it?
The team and the charity
and the youth. Yeah.
And the utes. At option C, two players must buy 17 ingredients for a traditional French recipe in a market and then work with a local chef to cook it. The others are then given the finished dish and told it has salt, pepper, and butter, and then must guess 7 of the other 14 ingredients. If all 7 guessed ingredients are in the dish, they win 50,000 francs.
It's like Top Chef meets the mole. That's truly the mole.
It is the mole.
Really is. All right, so we got French Foreign Legion Assault Course, we got Charity Karaoke Fundraiser, and we have French Chef Chopped Cook-Off Top Chef thing.
Okay, so it's one of those is a fake.
Yep.
Zed, I feel like the first one feels like very intensely real to me.
Yeah, and I it's similar. I mean, I understand this is like the earliest of reality television, but we certainly see challenges like that, like on The Amazing Race. Maybe not Do It Again but Slower, which is baffling to me,
right?
But learn how to do this training course thing is very real.
Well, it's after their lunch, so maybe they just didn't want to have to like clean the puke. They didn't have to want to worry about that. All right. So we agree that that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Is charity just too nice for the mole?
I just can't imagine. I can't imagine setting that up and asking someone to intentionally sabotage a charity event.
Yeah. But it also feels like if that's like the first fake one, like that one just feels like obviously fake. So makes me feel like it's real. You know, maybe I'm psyching myself out here. We can go with it. We can go with it and say that the cookery is correct.
Yeah.
All right. So that we'll go option B, Jess.
Option B is the charity karaoke fundraiser.
Yes.
Yes.
No, that one's real. That was the first one with the French Foreign Legion training assault course. And I'll tell you what would have tipped me off to this one being fake. It would be really easy to complete an obstacle course slower than the last time you did it. It's like having a contest to see who can hit the softest.
I guess that's what I thought.
That's why I said. I mean, I agreed that it was real. I also thought it was real, but I did very much think the do it slower part was.
Yeah, I'll be out here.
I really thought it was so they didn't throw up anywhere, but I'm thinking too much about what I would want.
Yeah,
if I was on production.
We did talk about that real show called Hurl.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's true. All right.
All right.
You got one on us, Belgium.
Yep. Over one. Number two, Yankee Doodle Blandicoops, how the Dutch version of the mole utilized the United States.
Okay.
Number A, filmed on the 4th of July, six players must use a 5-minute fireworks show as their only light source to draw Pictionary-style clues about each player into the sand at a beach. The last two players are then given one... Sand. I hate sand.
Of course.
Awful.
It's everywhere.
The last two players are then given 1 minute to work out who each clue represents, again using only fireworks to see, with the team winning €500 for each player correctly identified.
Which version of the mole is this again?
I am not given any of the countries.
Got it. Okay.
I think, well, this one is the Dutch version, I think, whole time.
Okay. Cool.
So, option B, six players are given 15 minutes to recruit five locals for an unknown sports challenge implied to involve football. However, they are later told they will actually compete against the locals in a basketball-style free throw contest. If five players score at least as many baskets as the locals, they win €500 per basket. And if the last player correctly guesses how many baskets will be scored in total by both teams, they win a bonus €1,500.
Woof.
And option C. Three players must choose a word with up to 10 letters and then use farming equipment to mow it into a paddock so that it can be read from a distance. 15 minutes after they start, the last two players must work out what the chosen word was while standing on a nearby overlook. If they do so correctly, the team wins a varying prize based on how many letters the word had.
That's incredible.
That's really funny. Zed, do you have any strong feelings hearing those three?
The first one just seems impossible.
Yeah.
To accomplish.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, what is, like, the hardest to capture visually?
Yeah.
And while, like, I can imagine being there for that, I can imagine that being hard to, like, translate to film. Like, the fireworks going off, and, like, that's what you're using for lighting.
Yeah. Even now.
Yeah.
Let alone over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's my strong feeling.
Yeah, so
it just kept getting more difficult.
That's a really hard one. And like, if that is real,
it's only light from fireworks, and you have to draw in sand.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm with you on this. All right, option A.
Okay, well, you're incorrect again.
Wow.
Grim Recapper is very good at these fake challenges. I must say, I'm very impressed. So it is option B, the free throw contest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because nobody outside of the U.S. cares about basketball all that much.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not totally true. Like, don't at me, but
I don't know. I can't weigh
it's kind of a little bit true.
Can't weigh one way or the other.
All right. So question number three, thou shalt not sabotage unless it's funny. Challenges with religious inspiration. So this is going to be good.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Buckle up.
Option A. Two players get 10 photos of 10 Buddha statues hidden among hundreds on a temple staircase and must use a walkie-talkie to describe them to the others, who must take photos of the correct statues while climbing the stairs. After 30 minutes, they must submit one photo at a time for checking. If a photo is of a correct statue, the team wins 250 euros and gets the option to continue or quit with the money they have. Mm. However, if they submit a wrong photo at any point, the challenge ends and they win nothing.
Okay. Seems very complicated and potentially really offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Option B. Players must split into two groups and use photos to find 8 marked candles hidden around Jerusalem's old city, bringing them to a lookout near the Wailing Wall and adding them to a menorah which already has a candle in it. If they can turn 1 candle into 9 and achieve full enlightenment within 90 minutes, they win 3,000 euros.
And achieve full enlightenment?
Yeah, that's all it takes.
How would you measure that? Who gets to say? Who gets to say?
I don't know.
It better be cheeky.
I think it's a little cheeky.
I think it is. Okay.
All right. Option C. 3 players enter the oldest Catholic church in the Philippines and get a map of town and then must use walkie-talkies to direct the others in pairs to walk the streets in a real-life game of Snake, returning to the church 30 minutes after starting. If both pairs arrive within a 1-minute margin of error, the team wins 2,500 euros, minus 250 euros for each time a pair stops moving or retraces their steps, and for each time pairs run into each other.
Whoa.
This is so hard, Zed.
Yeah.
This is tough. I guess, like, I would think that, like, the possibility of being, like, very offensive in, like, describing the Buddhas would make me think that, like, that's not going to be the one.
That's not a fake one?
Yeah, no, that is a fake one. Well, maybe. I don't know. This is hard. This is real hard.
Okay, we have the Buddhist statues.
Yeah.
We have the snake in the town square to get to the church.
That sounds fun.
And the Jewish one.
The Wailing Wall and like being able to film there feels like was the mole able to pull the strings?
Near it, right? Okay. Not literally at it.
Was it at the Wailing Wall, Justin?
It said near the Wailing Wall.
Okay.
Also, I think security has significantly heightened since the... I guess these are not all from 1998. They're from...
Yeah, they're mostly from early 2000s, I think. But I'm not sure. There have been a lot of seasons of The Mole, like more than you think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like... The permits to do that feels like you really gotta know somebody. I would be inclined to say that that's fake.
The Jerusalem one?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get it wrong, but let's just do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's the first one you've gotten right.
Yeah. Oh,
the Jews did something.
Yay, we did it. We
nice
know
work.
Our people. Yes.
However, I will say that while the U.S. has not filmed very many reality shows in Jerusalem, Amazing Race Australia back in 2011 actually did go to Israel. And they filmed a couple of legs of the race. And I can't remember.
Timing makes sense, though. You know, I think like early 2000s, that feels like that's going to be especially hard to pull off. So, hey, let's not question it. We got to win.
We got one.
Take the W, guys.
Taking it.
All righty.
We achieved full enlightenment.
Yes, we did. It probably took us about 90 seconds.
I thought that would take a lot longer.
Yeah, me too.
Great.
Okay. Question 4. 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Mm-hmm. Challenges involving navigation and the art of not getting lost.
Yes. Panderson Cooper.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
I like it.
Grim Recapper knows their audience.
Yes, yes.
Option A. Players are taken to different locations the same distance from an unknown endpoint and must find it using 4 clues in identical envelopes. Each player can open one clue for free, but must pay 500 euros from the pot for each extra clue opened. If a player arrives within 1 hour, they win a choice of six prizes. 4,000 euros, 2,000 euros, one, two, or three extra points on the next test, or an exemption. All However, right. prizes are first come, first served, and anything not claimed within the hour is forfeited. Okay. Option right. B. Three players must drive along a set route through the Mexican Riviera, following a GPS which only gives cryptic directions. For example, at the next intersection, drive towards Romania. If they make a wrong turn.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome. Funny.
Whether that's real or fake, that's great.
If they make a wrong turn at any point, 250 euros will be removed from the challenge's prize and they must backtrack. If they reach their destination within the time limit, they win 2,500 euros.
Okay. I want to believe that's real.
I want that GPS.
Yeah,
it was hard to come out ahead on that one, but that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Option C. Players are split into pairs and taken to different locations around central Melbourne. One pair is given a clue leading to a new location, and players must use phones and maps to work out which of the other pairs is best positioned to collect the next clue from that location, repeating a process until a clue directs all three pairs to the final location. A pair cannot collect consecutive clues. If all three pairs reach the final location within 2 hours, the team wins $10,000.
Okay. Can you read the first one again real quick?
Mm-hmm. Players are taken to different locations the same distance from an unknown endpoint and must find it using four clues in identical envelopes. Each player can open one clue for free, but must pay 500 euros from the pot for each extra clue opened. If a player arrives within 1 hour, they win a choice of six prizes. 4,000 euros, 2,000 euros, one, two, or three extra points on the next test, or an exemption. However, prizes are first come, first served, and anything not claimed within the hour is forfeited.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it was very, very detail-oriented. So the Grim Recapper is either like very, very, very detailed in their fan fiction, or the Mole is very, very, very detailed in reality.
I think either is equally possible.
Yeah, I know. That's what's making this so difficult. Can you read the last one? The last one, please.
Players are split into pairs and taken to different locations around central Melbourne. One pair is given a clue leading to a new location, and players must use phones and maps to work out which of the other pairs is best positioned to collect the next clue from that location, repeating the process until a clue directs all three pairs to the final location. A pair cannot collect consecutive clues. If all three pairs reach the final location within 2 hours, the team wins $10,000.
That feels so the Mole.
Yeah, I agree.
That feels very the Mole. And the first one is the only one that doesn't have a specific location stated.
Mm.
But I don't want to like apply that logic to the Grim Recapper. This is like getting to the final boss in the game where like the way to defeat the final boss is to go against all of your instincts that have served you in previous boss battles. AKA difficult.
It's true.
But do you think the esoteric GPS is real?
That's the question. It's hysterical and awesome and a great idea. And if it's not real, that stinks. But that could be the hang up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to believe it's real, but maybe that should tell us that it's not.
We always pick the ones that we want to make us feel about the world.
I know.
It's so rare that's correct.
You got to be the reality shows you want to see in the world.
We're trying. Yeah, it's not doing us very good in our quiz records.
I want to believe that it's true. And I think the first one is
because it's non-location specific.
Yeah, that'll be.
That'll be the reason.
Sure, let's say that's the reason.
Okay.
Instead of like, well, we have to make a choice eventually.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. We have to keep the podcast.
We'll pick the first one.
All right. Well, I got good news and bad news.
Okay.
The good news is the esoteric GPS is indeed real.
Okay, great.
But the bad news is the third one is fake.
Yeah, that exactly.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah. It's like a win-win.
Yeah, I'll take
more or less.
I'll take that. Well, appreciate
esoteric
that.
GPS. It was an esoteric GPS. All right.
Oh, man.
Question number 5.
Okay.
It's a long way from the top if you want to be the mole. Repelling challenges.
Ooh. Zed, this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. When I leave this podcast, I'm going climbing.
You got to climb. You got to climb mm-hmm. to get your goals. All right. Let's climb to the top of.
All right. Climb Mount to the top of this question. Saint,
question number 5.
Okay.
That's a real option, place.
Yes, it sure is. Option A. Players must rappel one at a time down one of the tallest buildings in Frankfurt, clipping flags to an adjacent knotted rope to estimate the height of a smaller tower each on the way down. The team wins 500 euros for each marker placed within 10 meters of its building's actual height. If the 5 markers are placed in the correct order from highest to lowest, any money won will be doubled. Option B. One player at a time is led away from the group and distracted with a series of pointless questions. The mole secretly asked to predict whether each player will rappel face first down a 14-story grain silo. The team wins $2,000 each time the mole guesses incorrectly, but is fined $2,000 for each correct prediction.
That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
That's like inverse of how that sort of thing would normally work. It's like Indian poker compared to regular poker, where you have like the opposite information.
Yeah.
Or it's like the going to the university and having to do all the logic puzzles and getting money taken out every time they get one.
Yeah. Correct.
All right. Option C. 5 volunteers must rappel from the roof of Thailand's tallest building to a balcony several floors below. If all 5 do so, they win 2,500 euros. However, those who finish are each offered the chance to forfeit the prize and force the remaining 4 players who didn't want to rappel at all to complete the same rappel face first, with the prize quadrupled to 10,000 euros if they all succeed.
Oh, liquid brains.
Wait, so the person who goes first can then require everybody else to do it face first in order to quadruple the prize?
Yep.
Is that too much control? Like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the mole. This is where your knowledge of what you've seen, Zed, comes in handy. Because, like, what is are there is there anything here that is just like not a thing that the U.S. mole would ever do? Like giving the mole like sort of that level of participation, and I think that was the first one, right? Where or was it the second one?
It was the second one. The first one was rappel down a building and guess how high other buildings are.
Yeah. That's too much math. That one. I don't like that at all, to be honest. But the second one of like, how does your actualization of reality measure against the mole's perception of you is kind of, that's a cool challenge that I would love to see that. I think that sounds really good. Is that something that the show would ever do, you think?
So on another season of the U.S. Mole, tied into the loved ones visit, there's a challenge where they have to bungee jump, I think, but beforehand the loved ones get asked if they think their player will jump or not, and then whether they get to meet their loved one or not depends on whether they guess the answer correctly, not whether they actually do the thing or not.
Okay.
So that's sort of similar. It's not as directly mole is in control of it. The building measuring one just seems kind of random to me.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like great television.
And it feels very hard to do it well, which makes it very easy to sabotage, which I think is also not the most interesting.
All right. You want to go with that?
Let's go with the building one.
Okay. Well, you're correct.
Yeah. Hooray. So 2 for 5?
Yeah.
Yep, that was question 5.
All right.
So we're 2 for 5. Passionate.
Okay. All right. You know.
Great.
We're getting close to that, you know, 500 batting average. If we do that I feel like it's consistent.
Yeah. I think you can still pull it out.
Yeah. Numerically, we still can.
All right. Question number 6.
Got the shot.
Don't throw away your shot, guys.
No, I can't. I'm not gonna.
All right. Number six, Australian mole trying to kill its contestants in season finales for the purposes of light entertainment.
I like this category already.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
Option A, one player is shown how to complete a light aircraft stunt and then must perform it before teaching it to the second player, who must perform it before teaching it to the third player.
Oh, boy. Oh,
my goodness.
A light aircraft stunt. Sure, why not?
What does that mean?
Like a biplane?
I think with a biplane. If all three players fail to die in a grisly plane crash and or complete the stunt to the original pilot's satisfaction, they win $5,000.
There's
playing a game of telephone with an airplane seems.
Let's see how ridiculous the rest of these are, yeah. Zed, but that is a, you know, that cannot be real. That's okay. Crazy. That's okay. Crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
All right. Option B. One player at a time must answer as many of 15 either-or questions about eliminated players as they can, standing on one of two markers in a simulated minefield based on the answer to each question. If they are correct, nothing will happen, and they can move on. If not, they will trigger a small explosion to end their turn, and the next player must pick up where they left off. If the end of the minefield is reached before all three go kaboom, the team wins $10,000. Regardless of the result, whoever answers the most questions correctly wins the right to read two questions from the last test before attempting it.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no one's actually that's getting not,
yeah, that's
that.
Small not explosion. Nearly as realistically dangerous no as flying no
airplane. Yeah. So it's either what's coming next is fake or the airplane is like 1,000,000% fake.
Yeah.
Okay. Option C.
By the way, the airplane is absolutely real, and that's horrifying.
Okay.
Option C. Players are split up and must complete different animal-based mini-tasks, catching a snake and returning it to the wild, touching a shark while scuba diving, or harvesting eggs from a saltwater crocodile nest, all while wearing heart monitors. If all three players finish their tasks without their heart rate spiking above 150 beats per minute or getting maimed by their animals, they win $10,000.
The airplane is fake. There's just no way that the airplane is real.
Okay, well, I want to have a viewing party for this because that one's real.
That's insane!
No.
That's crazy!
After we finish recording,
Australia?
We got to go look this up.
Yeah. This is the Mole Australia?
Ooh,
what are you guys so doing weird. There in Australia?
This is the country where everything
is made
kill
to
you.
Kill you.
That is terrifying.
Somebody get Shannon Gates on the phone.
Really?
I have some complaints.
That is horrible. I'd quit.
Wow.
I was quitting the final episode. Yeah, what's the fake, Jess?
I still don't know.
The fake is the minefield.
The safest one.
It's explosions. How are explosions safe? Well, you blow your hand off with fireworks.
It's not an actual minefield.
Small, yeah, simulated. Simulated minefield.
I think the explosions
they
are real.
They played Battleship on Survivor and did those little explosions in that one. And it was okay.
Is there really like no further assistance from an expert on the airplane one? It's like the expert passes the knowledge to person A, then person A to B, then B to C. That's very, very stupid and dangerous.
Yeah.
It should not have happened.
I'm going to have to go
watch
it. I
don't care where you're from.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Okay. Question seven.
Grim Recapper!
That take it up with Grim Recapper.
Take my fist at you. Yes.
Okay. I don't think Grim Recapper was the person that made that a real challenge on a real show.
I don't know. I'm blaming all of this on the Grim Recapper.
Fair.
Okay.
Number seven, an intellectual and psychological study into the effects of sight gags on the audience's collective psyche.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Option A. Players are given 10 minutes to search a public plaza for as many people as possible to join a conga line before leading them on a set course through Old Havana. If the conga line contains at least 30 people from start to finish, they win 1,000 euros plus an extra 5 euros for each additional local. However, they are not told that the route will branch in at least 3 points and that they can make the route shorter and thus less likely to result in quitters by choosing which answers to shown questions from the previous test were guessed most often and following the corresponding routes.
Hmm. Fun. That just sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Does. Wait, they have to have at least 30 at the start?
Yep.
Okay. And the end.
Yeah, they have to have 30 people from start to finish.
Okay. So they have 30 people who've already like signed on to be a part of it as soon as they say go. Okay.
But they're allowed to drop out, and you try to get them to not drop out by finishing as fast as possible.
Got it.
All right. Option B. Three players get an hour to rehearse before appearing on a Dominican variety show during which they must participate.
I love it already. Okay.
Amazing Race did a telenovela task.
That's like awesome. That's also awesome. Yeah. That's great.
All right. During which they must participate in scripted segments written entirely in Spanish, among other things. Meanwhile, the last player must watch the show in a nearby family apartment, trying to identify which five Spanish words on a list are not in the scripts. At the end of the show, they win 250 euros for each unused word they correctly identify.
That's great TV. That's great TV. Both of these are great TV so far.
Yep.
Great.
And option C. Players are seated in four cars facing each other and then must simultaneously mime sets of 10 song titles for the others to guess without opening their doors or windows and while all four cars are being sprayed by gardeners. The team wins 50 euros for each song correctly identified by any of the other players within 15 minutes. The hardest song on each list worth double.
I feel like the miming of the songs maybe gets you out of any licensing issues, but is also like difficult again to pull off for the visual medium. But that has led us astray, I think, that line of thinking. So I don't know.
The cars are being sprayed with hoses. So how do you see anything?
Yeah.
I understand the cars are facing each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that seems very challenging. The other piece of it, of this one, is I think the having the 30 people at the start to finish feels really hard to gauge as a player. And even like monitoring that as a producer, I think like that's tough. I don't know. I would go with one of those two, which means it's probably the second one.
The TV show one?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that is really good TV.
It is really good.
Trying to spot the words that aren't in it is difficult.
Very hard. Really hard.
Even if you're a native speaker of whatever the language is, I think that's challenging.
Also, it's tough on an edit, right? Like, you have to, like, how do you tell that as a TV story for the mole?
Sure.
So I think because like my
instinct, well, and how do you sabotage it? Because either you say the word even if it's not in the script,
right?
I guess,
right. Or you butcher your part so badly that
it's like hard to tell.
Yep.
Because my instinct is that this one is real. It's why I think it's not
the Dominican TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like it, but I think you're right.
All right.
Okay. Well, you need to trust your instincts, Josh Wiggler, because that one's real.
This whole thing is impossible.
I don't think I would do very well on this either.
This is very brutal.
It's so hard.
It's really brutal.
It's also a very long quiz. We've got three more.
Yeah, we've got we got two more. Okay, that was number seven.
Okay,
so we got,
okay.
Oh yeah, we do have three more.
Yeah, we do have three more. I knew it.
Wait, which one was fake?
Conga line.
No, I love the visual in my mind's eye of people conging through Havana.
That's also, yes, I agree.
That's so funny.
All right. So how many have we gotten right so far? Two?
Two out of seven. We're not doing well.
Torture.
We should have quit when we achieved.
We have to get the next three, Zed. Otherwise, we lose out on our batting.
I want to prepare you for the possible eventuality that we don't do that.
A likelihood.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell you why, but I'm going to give you a free point on one of these.
Oh, yeah.
So I bring you up to free 3 point. Out of 10.
Yeah, great, I'm not great. So competitive that I won't take a free point. That's me. You give me a freebie, I'll take it. For sure. Unearned victory point? Yeah. I just got lucky and drew the victory point. Good.
Great.
Yep. Great. Okay. So question number 8, hoaxes. Question A. One player is told to guess how the others will act in staged hidden camera situations in their hotel's pool, sauna, and bar, with 1,000 euros at stake for each prediction. However, the others are secretly told about the challenge, and the real goal is to second guess the prediction and do the exact opposite, with money won each time the guesser's prediction is incorrect.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
A trope the show likes, it would seem.
All right. Option B. One player is privately taught to act like they're in pain and then is strapped to an electric chair at the base of a silo while the others answer 20 quiz questions at the top using a live camera feed to watch the victim get an electric shock of increasing severity for each wrong answer. They can quit at any time, but are not told the setup is fake and the victim is not feeling anything. If they get through the entire quiz, they win $5,000. If they quit, the victim wins an exemption instead. So it's Milgram the home game.
Did Australia do this?
Yeah,
that's dollars. It's like Australia
written all over it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that Stanley Milgram was a consultant.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Option C. The 5 players must assign themselves to different ancient Olympic events, long jump, discus, javelin, wrestling, or sprint, then compete in them against elderly Greek athletes. The sprinter receives a 5-meter head start for each teammate who wins their event and wins 3,000 euros if they finish first. However, they are not told the final champion is actually the last eliminated player in what can generously be called old age makeup, who has been told they will get 1,500 euros if they win.
So somebody who has been removed from the game already has been like given like the Johnny Knoxville grandpa treatment. Yep. That's very funny. That's hysterical.
I've never seen a returnee. That's not true. Never mind. I take that back.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking about, Zed.
Yeah.
I know what you just remembered.
I totally forgot, and then I remembered.
Oh, I like it. But I don't know.
The electric chair is brutal.
Yeah, but...
But after the airplane...
I can't trust that. Can you just go through the specifics of the electric chair for me one more time?
One player is privately taught to act like they're in pain and then strapped to an electric chair at the base of a silo while the others answer 20 quiz questions at the top, using a live camera feed to watch the victim get an electric shock of increasing severity for each wrong answer. They can quit at any time, but are not told the setup is fake and the victim is not feeling anything. If they get through the entire quiz, they win $5,000. And if they quit, the victim wins an exemption instead.
Yeah. I mean, it's classic, you know, to like televise this, you know, famous psychology experiment, basically, feels doable, but also feels like this could be a fake for us. I don't know. I don't trust anything anymore. I've lost all hope.
And the first one was somebody has to guess what the other players are going to do in their various environments, but then they know what they're going to do. And then they want to do the opposite of what the person guessed about what they were going to do.
Yeah. That feels like the mole.
It does.
That feels like the mole to me.
I don't know.
I guess the electric chair. The electric chair.
Yeah. Let's guess that one.
Turn it on. All right. Well, this is where you're getting a free point because all of these are real and there's no wrong or right answer.
Okay, good.
Wait.
I didn't write this quiz.
So this was built in for us to have like a lifeline here?
Well, I think Grim Recapper didn't want you to get a point for this one at all. And so I am subverting their expectations. Nice. Yeah.
The Grim Recapper wants us to fail
sabotage.
Here?
Sabotage.
Listen, all y'all.
Veracity if this whole thing is called into question.
I'm
not counting this as anything.
I would never do this to you.
This doesn't count as anything. Wash this whole thing. It's all a wash.
You don't want the last two?
No, I definitely do.
Okay.
And if we win, it counts. But if it doesn't, it counts for nothing.
But then it never happens.
Never happens.
You know that all of these points are made up and you don't win anything either way.
Satisfaction of a job well done.
Well,
it's true.
Can never be overrated.
Yeah.
Underrated.
It's true. And if I didn't do a good job, I don't want you to know that I tried.
That sounds about right.
I want you to
right.
think it never happened.
All right, question nine.
Question nine. It's too bad I have to read for this sheet and not look at you in the face while I'm reading these.
Oh, no.
Because they are deeply problematic.
Oh, no. Okay, now this is our wheelhouse. This is your wheelhouse. Yeah, this is good.
All right. Somehow, three of these four problematic mole challenges are real. And we're going up to four options now, so it gets a little harder.
Great. That's what we're doing so well.
Cool.
I think at this point, Grim Recapper is like, all of these are really terrible, and I feel like I need to showcase them all. So,
All right.
Option A. Two players are split from the group for the day and hide backstage during a Cantonese opera performance, while the others watch in the audience. Later, the group is shown a photo of the cast in full makeup and are led to believe the separated players were on stage in yellowface and then must attempt to pick them out of the photo. The separated players are then shown the photo and must guess who the others chose, winning 2,000 euros if both guesses are correct.
Brutal.
Yeah. Option B. Players are given a list of seven unknown items in Arabic and then limited time and money to buy the items in a Jordanian market. At the end of the time limit, they are shown 10 hookahs with different flavored tobacco inside and must smoke them to identify the flavors before matching the fruit spot to the corresponding hookahs.
Okay.
For each correct match, they win 250 euros.
I think I'd be okay.
Wait, they had to buy things at a market and then they had to do hookah? Those were two. That was part of the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had to buy all these fruits.
Oh, they buy the fruits.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah, they're like, you have to buy an apple and a pomegranate and a...
And now which one of these is the apple and which one of these is the...
Yeah.
I would be very reticent to sponsor this one if I was the making the flavored tobacco, because they might be like, this doesn't taste anything like a plum. And I'd be like, oh, man, there goes our plum sales are plummeting.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Option C. While the men prepare for a later challenge to win an exemption, the remaining women must run a food stall, boiling eggs in a hot spring and selling them to tourists. At least two women must be in the kitchen at all times, while the others search a nearby mud pit for dog tags marked with four digits of a safe combination, bringing them back to the stall. If they open the safe within an hour of starting, they win 100 euros for every dollar earned selling eggs.
Rotten egg.
It seems real.
I was just going to say that seems real. That seems like our humanity.
Yeah.
Our human culture.
I also feel like I've seen like an Amazing Race challenge where they have to like cook eggs in a hot spring or something. I have some nascent ethereal recollection of cooking eggs in a hot spring.
You're not wrong. That is a thing that they did on season 23.
Okay. See, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Amazing Race, but it's somewhere.
I forgot calculus and Japanese and most of the physics I ever knew, but I remember which season they boiled eggs in a hot spring on the Amazing freaking Race.
You're using your brain right. Yeah.
We all have skills.
Okay.
Okay.
One more,
okay.
Right?
And one more. Two players must work with drag performers to learn two Thai pop songs and then perform one each as part of a drag show for a live audience, after which the audience will vote for the best performer. As they do so, two others will play table tennis backstage against the drag queens they replaced. If either player is deemed the best performer, the team wins 100 euros for each point the lower scorer scored against their opponent during the show.
Wow, that's complicated and hilarious.
I think the hookah's fake.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's not overthink these things.
I don't want to spend much. I'll take the loss. I don't want to spend much time here. I don't like this. Like I love this, you know, but I do not like
gestures broadly.
Yeah, I'm gesturing broadly. I love this, and I'm moving my hands in a very specific. I don't like this.
Yeah, let's go with the hookah one.
Let's just do it.
All right. Well, it is the Thai pop song one. You are incorrect.
Right, whatever.
They did something sort of similar on Amazing Race 26.
Yeah.
There was a very problematic Thai drag show challenge.
Of course there was.
Yeah.
All right. And finally.
Last question. We're doing so well.
Last question.
All right. So
we have always. Yeah. It's okay. This is a hard quiz.
This one's worth 8 points.
Yeah, it is. It's worth 8 points.
Oh, no. If we get it right.
All right. Number 10. We have always been at war with Big Brother. Satirical references to other televised competitions.
Okay. It's true.
All right, letter A.
In every sense of the word. Yeah, go ahead.
Indeed. Players must camp on a tropical island for 24 hours, paying money from the pot to open two optional supply chests, but winning 3,000 euros if they refuse to open either. In addition, a survivor-style challenge is held to pick two players to compete for an exemption. At the end of the stay, the other three must form a jury and vote in a tribal council parity for who will get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Option B. One player must assign five prizes, two cash prizes, two sets of extra points on a future test, and nothing to the others, who must compete in a mini amazing race around Tbilisi, finding a marked car and traveling around the city to find additional cars at various landmarks, with players eliminated musical chair style until the last two race to a mock pit stop. If the first player to finish was assigned money, the team wins it. If they have extra points, they and the allocator both receive them.
Okay. And I assume that, like, this is not, like, billed to them as, like, you're doing a mini amazing race. We're just, we're mapping.
I think it depends on the copyright laws of the country show airs in.
Okay.
I don't know how, like, I don't know how the parody laws work anywhere but the U.S.
Okay.
Okay. Number C. The seven players are shown six cash prizes of different values from 1 euro to 5,000 euros and then are split up and must watch as values are eliminated in a random lottery. A la Deal or No Deal. Each time a value is removed, players are offered various minor individual advantages in the game to quit, with any offers taken awarded. If at least three players refuse all the offers and reach the end of the game, the team wins the cash prize in the last case left. And if not, they are fined the value in the final case. And finally, option D. Three players at a time must play Wheel of Fortune, solving a puzzle together while the other two attempt a basic mini-task nearby, with money won during the puzzle only awarded if the mini-task is completed successfully. After three puzzles, the group is offered a double-or-nothing final round, with no mini-task but with one player of the group's choice having limited time and letters to solve a final puzzle alone.
Hmm.
Okay, so we had Survivor, Amazing Race, Deal or No Deal, and Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are the options.
I feel like Deal or No Deal. Is that like very worldwide popular? Popular worldwide? Is it? Do people like that around the world?
I have globally, no do idea.
I'm going to look that up because I do not know.
Yeah, I really don't either.
I have no idea.
Yes. Yes, this has aired in more countries than Survivor has aired.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that tells us something.
Yeah, in fact, there's two versions in the United States. There's a Spanish language version called Vas o No Vas.
Mm.
You go or you don't go.
It's a good game. I really always loved watching it.
I think the conundrum in that challenge of do you take the personal advantage or do you stay to the end for the sake of the team feels very mole specific. I actually think the Survivor one seems pretty mole oriented too, of like choosing who gets an exemption, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems real.
Can you read the Amazing Race and Wheel of Fortune ones again?
Okay. One player must assign five prizes, two cash prizes, two sets of extra points on a future test, and nothing to the others, who must compete in a mini amazing race around Tbilisi, finding a marked car and traveling around the city to find additional cars at various landmarks, with players eliminated musical chair style until the last two race to a mock pit stop. If the first player to finish was assigned money, the team wins it. If they have extra points, they and the allocator both receive them. And then what was the other one you want to hear?
The last one.
Okay. Three players at a time must play Wheel of Fortune, solving a puzzle together while the other two attempt a basic mini-task nearby, with money won during the puzzle only awarded if the mini-task is completed successfully. After three puzzles, the group is offered a double-or-nothing final round, with no mini-task but with one player of the group's choice having limited time and letters to solve a final puzzle alone.
The Amazing Race one feels like the least sabotageable to me.
I was thinking the same thing.
So I guess I would just go with that.
Yeah.
All right. And okay. Also thinking that like that would be the answer in tribute to Jess.
Yeah, I don't think Grim Recapper really thought about pandering to me.
Anderson
Cooper.
Grim Recapper is not a Panderson Cooper. So the fake one is the deal or no deal one, which I think really plays like a very,
it very much plays like a mole challenge. Yeah,
it does. Like, these are really excellently written, and I'm very impressed with all of the.
No, the Grim Recapper is excellent and very talented, and doesn't exist. None of this happened.
par for the course. We did not well.
This didn't happen. None of this happened. It's too hard. You got to know you're talking to the stupid team over here. I'm not going to do well in anything like it.
Yeah, I think maybe Grim Recapper could have done better sending the quiz to you two and making me do the quiz.
Yeah, that's what we should have done.
Yeah.
Future keep that in mind. Yeah, for season two, because I have to come up with a new game for you anyway. So, yeah.
Zed, what did you think of that flex from Jess of like, I'm really smart? You guys,
I'm not smart. I just, smart.
It's true.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
It's true.
It's smart.
Flex it.
I'm not smart. I just know a lot of useless information.
This is your wheelhouse. This is your.
It theme. Is. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah. 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 I like that for season two. Maybe we'll come up with the game and we'll try and stump you on something.
That sounds good. I'm here for it.
We'll figure that out. We'll come up with something. We'll come up with something. Season two is happening. It's just a question of when exactly. I would say at least a month away, maybe a little bit more than that. But, you know, assuming all things hopeful, we'll be doing something before the end of the year. We don't know, but we'll definitely do it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do season two for sure, because I'm really excited about it. But we need a little bit of a break. We got a lot going on post-show recaps, the aforementioned Walking Dead stuff. Jess is going to be back with Mike Bloom doing Star Trek Disco Nights. Discovery is coming back in season three in October. Lovecraft Country is wrapping up in October. The Everything is Super podcast is getting close to the end of the line on the Marvel Cinematic Universe rewatch. Kevin and I have plans for what to do past that point. We're going to keep that podcast going. And of course, Lost Down the Hatch is happening over there as well. So if you're gonna miss us here, you know, there's other places to find us. Also, there's a lot happening on reality TV wrap-ups. I have it on good authority that there's some Great British Bake Off stuff that is happening here. There's of course all of the Big Brother stuff. We also want to quickly tell you about Why Blank Lost. If by some chance you are not a listener of Why Blank Lost, each week during Survivor, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, Jessica Lewis is here, bring humor and strategy together in the Why Blank Lost podcast by looking closely at the game of each person who has voted off. And now for the first time ever in podcast form, David brings his 20 years of knowledge from covering reality TV, while Jessica brings her experience from Survivor to the Big Brother version, which also features special guests every week. Sometimes the answer to why someone was evicted seems obvious, but we all know the Big Brother TV show doesn't give us everything that happens. All of us know that. And some things aren't always exactly true. Plus, there are often other factors. Each Sunday morning, Why Blank Lost pulls everything together to find out what evicted house guests did right and wrong. Listen on the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed or Rehap Big Brother feed, or watch on the RHAP YouTube channel. So yeah, there's tons of stuff happening for your podcast needs right now. And we'll be back before you know it. Just going to take a little break.
Can I make an announcement before we go on our break?
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty cool. So our colleague Mike Bloom's going in to get his Survivor tattoo next week.
So I've heard. Woo!
And we spent a lot of time narrowing down. We played a Brant Steele. We had a casting special. We took over 150 submissions from the listeners and narrowed it down to plausible designs and created a design that is going on Mike Bloom's body next week. But if you want to pay tribute to the Bloom Tats experience, you can go on robswebsite.com/bloomtats and purchase your own set of temporary tattoos that commemorate several of the more memorable designs from the competition. You can put those on your body for the low, low price of $10, and all the proceeds from that are going to direct relief. So it's a good cause. If you were going to give some money for PPE anyway, this is a good way to do it, and you get some tattoos. And they were designed by me. They're pretty cool. I had fun doing them. So there you go.
Once again, where can people get that?
robswebsite.com/bloomtats.
Get those Bloom Tats. Mike Bloom getting them for real, and you can get them for temporary purposes. That's awesome.
If you want to take the design and get it permanently on your body, I'll send you the file.
Let me know. What's the fee? No fee?
No fee. I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart. Make a contribution to Direct Relief.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
You want a Sir Squiddington tattoo? Far be it from me to stop you. I'll even send you the art.
For sure. 100%. All right. Well, let's log off here. This has been a joy. This has been such a great highlight of the last couple of months, is doing this podcast with the two of you. Jess, who I've known for a long time, Zed, who I'm so thrilled that we've gotten to know each other as well as we have over the last couple of months, and that the listeners have gotten to know you too. I'm thrilled that you're behind a mic. I think that this is a great place for you, and I hope that you're having fun.
I am having the best time. This was like such an accident, but like such a happy, with so many things, a very happy accident. So I'm thrilled to be here. I hope you all will be hearing more from me soon. I'm around. I'm available. I will take any opportunity to take all the fun out of talking about reality TV and yell about social issues in the context of old television.
No, it's incredible.
But that's what I'm, you know, I can't do anything else. That's what I'm here to do.
You got to be you, and we love you. So this was fantastic. It was great having a weekly podcast with you, and I'm looking forward to turning it up again. Jess, Walking Dead, it's happening soon.
It is. It's a thing that is definitely happening.
Oh, we'll be back. It said, really, if you want to be involved, you're certainly welcome, but
it'll happen. It'll happen. I'll listen to a week or two, and then right. I'll come.
You can
out.
Make a choice. You can choose.
Make an informed decision.
Yeah, make an informed decision. Don't just say yes because you're on a podcast right now. But if you want in, we can.
I want to come hang out sometime. Right. We'll find a time.
Yeah, we'll open up the. We'll give you the passcode to our secret hideout.
Great.
Number of knocks. All right. So follow all of us on Twitter. Zed is at Hard Rock Hope. Jess is at Haymaker Hattie. I am at Round Howard. We are Mole Patrol, and we'll be back for season two at some point in the future. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Mole Patrol.